San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 27, 2025. Today's lesson is Symphony of Life with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Our opening song, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony, is a good reminder that we truly are one. So let's anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. You know, not everybody is old enough to remember the Hands Across America or Hands Across the World, where just people signed up to go out and hold hands and create a living connection around the globe. Now, of course, we had to skip the oceans because, you know, we aren't all walking on water these days. But my sister and her sons went, and they had to drive to a distant town because the holding hands was not going through our town. So they went to, I think it was Agora, and they were holding hands with everybody else. And this song, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony, embodies that Hands Across America movement, because everyone had one thought that got them there. They wanted to be a part of harmony, of peace, of honoring the life of everyone on the planet, to show that we are all connected, we are all related. Maybe not physically in families, but we are all connected in consciousness. Our theme for this month, July, is harmony. And I have a few things I'm going to be sharing with you today, just like I do every Sunday, but, you know, different things, some of the same things, some same things reworded. Basically, I'm sharing spiritual truths in a practical manner. This is practical spirituality. And our talk for today is Symphony of Love. Nature herself is governed through the harmonic laws of balance, divine order, and a systematic arrangement of visible and invisible principles that, when observed, creates a sense of peace, calm, and tranquility. Harmony and order is the first law of the universe. The great philosophers and mystics, saints and sages throughout history have known this truth. And you and I have the opportunity this morning to reveal divine harmony in our own lives. One of the early mentors of the New Thought movement was Ralph Waldo Trine. Ralph Waldo Trine, who wrote the classic In Tune with the Infinite back in 1897. So, well over 100 years ago. His writings had a great influence on many of his contemporaries, including the founder of religious science and the religious science movement, Dr. Ernest Holmes. In his book, Ralph Waldo Trine said that the word heaven means harmony. Heaven means harmony. He wrote, "This spirit of infinite life and power that is back of all is what I call God. Every act of our everyday lives is governed by these same laws and forces. Every flower that blooms by the wayside springs up, grows, blooms, and fades according to certain great immutable laws. Every snowflake that plays between earth and heaven forms, falls, and melts according to certain great unchangeable laws. Heaven is another word for harmony. And we have these harmonic laws of nature. Throughout history, mankind has been fascinated with the harmonic laws of nature. The great mathematician and Greek philosopher Pythagoras startled the ancient world by declaring that the heavenly spheres move upon each other with such well-ordered precision that they throw off a very faint music, which he called the music of the spheres. Spheres are the planets, the moons, the different things that are floating around, orbiting each other. The moon orbits the earth orbits the sun orbits something else in this great galaxy. The galaxy orbits something else that's supposedly in the middle of the galaxy. And there are multiple galaxies. And some people say there are multiple universes, multiverses. Pythagoras was telling us that there's an infinite harmony that plays throughout the universe. And universe, if you break it apart, is one song, not one note. The ongoing harmony that exists, whether we recognize it or not. It's the sound of life. It's the symphony of life. Pythagoras said that the music is too faint to be heard by those who are engrossed and absorbed in the material trappings of the world. You must become attuned to this celestial symphony. Since then, since Pythagoras, many scientists and physicists have researched the intergalactic harmony that prevails throughout the universe. You and I, and everyone here, have the choice to either ignore this truth, or we can consciously align our minds and our hearts with this ancient wisdom, the very symphony of life itself. I have three things I want you to remember that are relevant to this lesson. The first thing is harmony and order is the natural flow of life. Harmony and order is the natural flow of life. And if you are willing to listen to the indwelling wisdom of spirit, you will be guided to a life of ease, grace, and fulfillment. And your life flows in divine right action. Right here, right now, you are experiencing divine right action for everyone in this room and later for those listening to the talk. The second thing I want you to remember is to be open and receptive to the harmonious life. Only when you become available and willing to abide in God's perfect universe that is all around you, are you able to reap the rich harvest of abundance and good in your life? So be open and receptive to all this good that is a part of who you are. And the third thing, align your thoughts and actions with the harmony of the universe. You are a part of the symphony of life. So align your thoughts and actions with that which sings within you and that which sings within the universe. Consciously live and move and have your being in a state of balance and harmony. Sounds simple. Simple abundance. Nothing is as simple as it seems. It's very simple. It's not easy. A lot of things are very simple, but not easy. If they were easy, everybody would already do it. You want to be alive and awake and aware of everything that you think and say and do, because these are the things that are governing your life. In other words, your thoughts and actions of harmony produce more harmony in your life. You are creating your own symphony. Thoughts and actions that are not in harmony with universal laws and universal principles will produce chaos, dis-ease, discomfort, disharmony, discord, division, and dissension. This is what they make. So I suggest turning your attention to harmony and divine order. Being aware that the symphony of life is not just all around you, but that you are a part of it. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready to align with me as we turn our attention to the natural harmony and spiritual order of the universe? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I am in alignment with the infinite law of harmony. Everything I think, say, and do, reveals this truth. Everything in my life is in divine right order right now. I am an essential vibration in the symphony of life. And so it is.
So it is.
So breathe. Just simply breathe. Allow yourself to remember that you are part of this one song, this blending of notes and chords and all kinds of things. Ernest Holmes wrote the Science of Mind textbook. And in the back of it, he has a glossary. And I'm going to read to you what he wrote about life, since we're talking about the symphony of life. Actually, he wrote a full page. I'm only going to read you part of it. While the spirit of itself must always know itself, we are perfectly justified in saying that it manifests on different levels, proving it is limitless. If it had to manifest on only one level, then it would be limited. When spirit manifests in a purely mechanical way, we say it is unconscious life, like in the mineral kingdom. When it manifests in the animal world, we speak of it as simple consciousness. When it manifests in and through man, we say that it is in a self-conscious state. As this self-conscious state of man's mentality reaches a larger world of realization and comprehends something of its unity with this whole. As this self-conscious state of man's mentality reaches a larger world of realization, it comprehends something of its unity with the whole. We say that is the cosmic state. Thus, we know of four different levels upon which spirit manifests: unconscious state, simple consciousness, self-consciousness, and cosmic consciousness. All are but different ways through which the one power operates. Life, then, is that quality of being running through all, which enables everything to be what it is. Everything is what it is because it is life, it is alive, it is the wholeness of all. We want to look at man's consciousness, because it is at man's self-conscious level where we find that the natural harmonics of color, sound, and thought may not be all they appear to be at first glance. Our perception of reality is often distorted and confused. And it's similar to some of those impossible shapes and diagrams that reveal optical illusions to our rational mind. Like the one where there is black on the outside and there's white on the inside with kind of a moving edge. And so if you look at it in one way, the white on the inside is a chalice. And if you look at it the other way, the black on the outside are two faces looking at each other. Optical illusions are fun things to play with. And they are examples of how you can't hold two conflicting ideas in your mind at exactly the same time. You can't see the chalice and the faces at the same time. Your mind does these nanosecond flips, and you can think that you can see them at the same time, but you can't. You can't. That's not how it works. However, just because you can't see them at the same time doesn't mean that you can't entertain the thought that they both exist in what you're looking at. Also in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes has something to say about our perception and our relation to the infinite. On page 148, he says, "We have gone far in the right direction when we have determined that creation could have originated only in intelligence." Creation could have originated only in intelligence. And have realized further that our own mental power must be the same in kind with the creativeness of God. Thus, we begin to sense, even though dimly, that as our minds become more like the divine mind, we shall expand into a greater livingness. Our world created by our consciousness, and our consciousness taking its color from the perception of our relation to the infinite. So what is he saying? He's saying that as we become more aware, we see a broader expansion of the wholeness, the oneness of all of life. On pages 239 and 240, he writes, "A knowledge of our oneness with the God life all about and within us, that this life is governed by divine law and harmony within us, that our only need is to cooperate mentally with this law of life will heal when we recognize its presence and activity within us. We are healed by an awareness of the wholeness and the oneness that we are. Harmony and balance and divine order indeed has its presence and activity within us. Everything in your life is in divine right order. You are an essential vibration in the symphony of life. The meaning of the word harmony can be defined as a state of balance and divine order that is present within all creation. Before we moved to Point Loma, we hosted a gentleman called Jonathan Quinton. He was from New Zealand. He was an artist and a cosmologist whose quest is to help attune human consciousness to the harmony of universal order. Some of you here have experienced Jonathan's multimedia presentation that gives an insight into the miraculous order and harmony that resides not only in nature, it resides within our own bodies and with our own individual and collective spiritual consciousness. Jonathan gave us examples of the golden ratio of 1.618 and the Fibonacci series that is evident within all of nature, from the smallest microbe to the nautilus shell, from the daisy and sunflower to the swirling galaxies of the universe. All have the sacred geometry of spirit within it. Did you know that music and the notes on the harmonic scale have a vibrational color associated with it? It was Pythagoras again, who is attributed with the original concept of a correlation between the seven colors of the rainbow and the seven notes on the musical scale. And so my mind goes, wow, we had seven notes on the musical scale back in Pythagoras' time. And then it says, well, obviously, how else could people compose music? They had to have a notational system. So this is the correlation. C is red, D is orange, E yellow, F green, G blue, A indigo, and B violet. So if we think about each note has a corresponding color, then we can think about this again when we're listening to music. It would be an interesting exercise to follow some sheet music and have the notes being colored. And when there are chords where you play the different keys at the same time, we would have little mini rainbows in there. Bach actually called E flat a grayish tone and B flat was a yellow green, while Schubert saw E as reddish gold and B flat as simply green. But Pythagoras said F is green. So maybe over time, no, what really happened is each of them had their own sensitivities, and so they each interpreted the vibration that they heard with the color that they saw. Another thing that has vibrations and colors are our chakras. There's vibrational colors associated with the chakra power points of the human body. And there were seven major chakra points. There are lots of minor chakra points, but now the major chakra points are going to nine. Each one of these chakra points has a tonal vibration that is attuned to the universal key of love. So what is the universal key of love? I don't know. Some people say that it is the resonant frequency of the fragrance of the rose, which is 500 some odd hertz, which to me would be beyond human hearing range. Yeah. When Reverend John Pileski was facilitating crystal workshops during the late 80s and the early 90s, he realized, he himself experienced this and came to this conclusion, that colored gemstones placed on someone's body could be revealed with their eyes closed, meaning the vibration of the colored stone could actually be experienced and not actually seen. Light colors felt smooth and thin. Dark colors were rough and heavy. Many of us think that snow is white and grass is green. However, both may actually be reflecting subtle shades of blue and lavender. The harmonics, the vibrations, the sounds, the colors, all of these things are part of that symphony of life, the symphony of life. Our minds, thoughts, and focus can easily be distracted by outside influences. So it's up to us to remember to remember the wholeness of all life. The universal law of harmony helps us to create peace in our lives through unifying ourselves with everything around us. Master Morihei Ueshiba, the founder of Aikido, says that harmony originates with the flow of all things. The way of harmony is a celebration of the bonding of heaven, earth, and humankind. It is all that is true, good, and beautiful. The law of harmony is the first law of creation. The law within each of the trillions of billions of atoms that we share together in each eternal moment, in each eternal breath. That is the law of harmony, the first law of creation. It is the very essence of the symphony of life. So right now, let's take a deep cleansing breath, eternal and collective breath of harmonic proportions, and then release it with ah, okay? Ah. 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 Life is good when you live in the spiritual awareness of harmony. So I'd like to invite you to join us next week as we begin our August theme of creativity with my lesson titled Creative Juices. I thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Namaste.